We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The New Orleans Dot Football Show is proudly presented by PJ's Coffee. PJ's Coffee has some of the best drinks that you can find. They have locations all over the city. They have pastries and everything else you need to get your day started. So go check them out. Are you looking for the perfect engagement ring? Look no further than Friend & Company Fine Jewelers' new engagement salon. This new area houses a wide selection of engagement rings to choose from in all cuts, sizes, and colors. Their experienced staff offer five-star customer care to help you find the perfect ring to express your love. Visit their new engagement salon today. Friend & Company Fine Jewelers, the perfect ring for the perfect moment and also for the perfect person. 7713 Maple Street between Adams and Burdett Street. 504-866-5433. Friend & Company Fine Jewelers. Check them out at friendandcompany.com. Hard Hide Punch Tool Strawberry Whiskey is an 86 proof blend of aged wheat bourbon, American light whiskey, and fresh Punch Tool strawberries. Blended in New Orleans, it is not for the thin-skinned. Look for it in your favorite stores, bars, and restaurants. New Orleans Dot Football is proud to be sponsored by Firehouse Subs. Make sure you check out their location on Veterans Boulevard. All right, let's get into the show. All right, let's get into our lead topic presented by Friend & Company Fine Jewelers, official jewelers of the New Orleans Saints. Friend & Company Fine Jewelers is excited to announce the opening of their new engagement salon, Friend & Company Fine Jewelers. They have a lot of engagement rings to choose from. And while you're there, check out their Florida Lee earrings and necklace. They are specially priced for our NO Off audience. All right, so our lead topic today, has the Saints roster gotten too old? General Manager Mickey Loomis agreed with the notion that the Saints
disagreed
with the notion that the Saints are an old team last week when he was asked about an ESPN study that showed they had the oldest roster in the league in 2023, weighed by snaps played. Mike published a story today on our website, NewOrleans.Football. If you aren't signed up yet, use the code NOF to save 20% off your first payment. Ranking the Saints' assets on the roster where the age stood out like a sore thumb. Do we agree or disagree with Loomis?
I strongly disagree with Mickey Loomis. The Saints weren't too old to compete by the end of this year. They might not even be too old to compete in week one of next year. But Tamara Davis is 35 years old. I know he plays like he's 25 years old. He is 35 years old. Cam Jordan is 34, and he has started to take a step back in his production. Tyrann Mathieu, 31, Ryan Ramczyk, 29 and injured, Alvin Kamara, 28 and a running back, Taysom Hill, 33. I mean, these are 8 of the 10 best players on the team are in their 30s or have a lot of mileage on them, and they've been missing on draft picks. I mean, when you do something like rank the assets on your team, we just talked about the Lions in our last show, and I was looking at the Lions. Their best assets are guys who are making all pros and the Pro Bowl right now while on their rookie contracts. The Saints have guys who have one all pro Pro Bowler. They also have Rashid Shaheed as a kick returner. And it's Tamara Davis at 35. Like, they have not restocked the shelves, and it's incredibly daunting.
Yeah. So, I mean, you kind of look at their core right now, and like you said, it's older players. Who are the young guys that could be part of that core? It's like Pete Werner, he's 24. Maybe Lattimore if he's still on the team next year. He's 27. It's kind of weird to me that Carl Granderson and Lattimore are the same age. I was a little bit surprised to see that, both of them 27. Lattimore just feels like he's been around longer, and he has, yeah. But he just entered the league at such a young age. Adebo's 24. Shahid's 23. Eric McCoy's 26. Olave's 23. And then I don't know if I'm ready to count guys like Brzee and Kendre Miller in that.
Right.
It feels like a little bit of a reach to consider them like core players, but it feels like an aging team though. Like absolutely.
No question.
And I don't think the problem is that like, there's a handful of really good players here, and like Adebo might be like really coming into his own. McCoy's obviously really great. Olave's obviously really great. Shahid just made a Pro Bowl. Like, it just feels like there's a couple yeah. pieces missing.
I don't hate this roster. I don't hate this roster. I just wish a lot more of those guys were still 20. I mean, we felt really good about this team when those guys were in their prime, and they're just not anymore. The Father Time will eventually come. Maybe DeMario will still be playing when he's 45, but Father Time will come for every other one of yeah. these guys.
Yeah, it's too bad. Like, and it's too bad Pete Werner didn't necessarily take that next step in his development. Like, it felt like this was a year for him to kind of like start to come into that spot where it's like, all right, he's going to be ready to take over the linebacker core. I don't know that we saw that growth from him. I think it's possibly still there, but like, there needs to be like some type of like explosion in his development to kind of put him in that spot where you're like post DeMario.
Right.
Like we're comparing it post DeMario. Like,
right.
Okay, this is a guy that can take over here and you got your next one in the pipeline. I think he's really, really good, but can he get to that level of greatness?
It's funny that you mentioned him, because last year, I did this exercise last year, and I had three guys listed as prime assets last year, and it was Olave, Marshawn Lattimore, and Pete Werner. And this year I bumped Werner off that list. This year it was just Olave. Lattimore would be on there if there weren't questions about the fact that it seems very possible the team is considering trading him, or there's some sort of divide there, and he's missed so much time 2 years in a row now. I mean, Lattimore might still be the most talented player on the team, but I don't put Pete Werner in their same category anymore, and I did a year ago because I thought we were seeing the beginning of a steep ascension, and I kind of feel that way about Adebo and Granderson now. I think we saw those guys look like, all right, they're on the way up, but this is proof that we have to see it before we can just assume they're going to take that next step.
All right, let's go through the roster real quick, just yeah. position by position, and you know how we feel about the age of them. Quarterbacks: Carr, Jameis, Taysom, Haener. Like, it feels okay. Yeah. Like,
I mean,
like Carr is
no,
an
that's,
old quarterback.
It's too old, but I mean, everybody but Carr. Yeah, like they don't. I don't think Jake Haener is the heir apparent or anything like that. But yes, and Mickey Loomis said that when we talked to him in the middle of the season, when we were talking about age. Carr is 32 now. He turns 33 very soon, but he spent the whole season as a 32-year-old. And he said, we didn't invest in him as like a two-year solution. If Carr pans out, he could be a 6 or 7 year solution. Yeah. So that doesn't bother me, but you'd rather have a CJ Stroud or a Pat Mahomes than a 32-year-old quarterback.
And then running back, Alvin, Jamal Williams, Kendre Miller, Jordan Mims, others. Fine, I guess. Like, if Kendre really kind of hits, you're fine there. But like, so you got the young guy coming in behind the new guy or the old guy, but it doesn't. It is.
I didn't
see enough though to yeah. kind of feel super confident about it. But that feels like a spot where if they suddenly that doesn't work, you can get young really quick without a ton assets. I feel good about wide receiver with Olave and Shahid and At Perry, mm-hmm. kind of the young core there. Offensive tackle, Ramchek, Penning, Pete Hurst, Lenny Young, Cam Irving need help in flashing lights, like, because we just don't know what Penning is at yeah. this point. So you're really old at that position if Penning doesn't play well and we can't bank on him. Any disagreement?
No, but I mean, that's a couple positions in a row. Running back, yeah, Alvin and Jamal Williams are fine for now. And maybe you bring back Pete to go with Hurst and Ramchek, and maybe that's good enough for now. But there's like a expiration date on it that is like less than 12 months from now, I think, on both of those position groups.
Yeah, absolutely. Center guard, McCoy, Ruiz, Saldivari, others. If somebody emerges, they're okay. They're like, that's not the age of two out of the guys is okay. You need one more, I think, but I mean, you're kind of fine there. The end, I mean, obviously old, need help, all those things, dire. DT, you got Brzee, Saunders, Nathan Shepard. I feel like it's in Roach, if he comes back, I feel like it's a talent thing more than an yeah. age thing at that spot. Linebacker, Davis, Werner, I feel like they're a little bit old there. I mean,
Zach Bond, who emerged a little bit toward the end of the season, is unrestricted free agent. They don't have a lot of unrestricted free agents. That's one good thing about their current state. They're too old. They're too far over the salary cap, but they could re-sign everybody with relative ease if they wanted to.
Safety, I feel like they're old there. I mean, Matthew and May's 30. Yeah, Tyron's, sure. You know, I feel like there's still, like, room, you know, tread on the tire. But
Jordan Howden was a good pick. It helps, yeah, helps restock the cupboard, but, yeah, he's absolutely not Matthew or May yet.
And then, you know, even with her, if they bring back Ike Yiadom, I mean, I feel like they're in pretty good shape age-wise at cornerback, even if they trade Lattimore.
Yeah, Lante Taylor we didn't mention with the young core players because we don't know what he's going to be yet. But funny enough, when Mickey Loomis was disputing the idea of them being an old team, Alante Taylor's the first name out of his mouth, which I thought was interesting. He was doing it off the top of his head. It wasn't going – he didn't have a note card in his hand for that question.
Yeah.
But but it's still funny that that's the first name. I think he said Alante Taylor, then he said Adebo, he said Granderson, he said McCoy, he said the receivers. And I generally agree with this list. He probably left Pete Werner off that inadvertently because Pete Werner belongs on that list too of young guys they can build around. I don't know. I had my tiers today. And I went McCoy, Werner, Adebo, Granderson, Shaheed as my, you know, these are good prime assets. My next tier was hopefully they can join that group. Cesar Ruiz, he's right on the cusp, but I wanted to see a little more of a step forward from him. Brian Brzee, Juwan Johnson being another one, Alante Taylor as well. So.
All right, part two of this conversation, does it affect our stance on whether or not the team should consider rebuilding or should they still be all in to win the NFC South again in 2024? I mean, I think there's multiple parts to this. I mean, the should, I think you have to be practical about it in the sense of, like, if I'm the Saints, like, I feel like I have to go all in because I got too much in on this team. If I'm Nick analyzing the team, I'm going to say, whoa, Nelly, like, hit the brakes a little bit.
You say, whoa, Nelly.
No, I would never say that, but I did right now. But I, you know, hey, chill out a little bit. Pull back on the reins, like, kind of keep going, but, like, you're a little close to the edge. Maybe find the happy medium between the two things. But, you know, I think practically speaking, we can scream that until we're blue in the face, but, like, they aren't going to do it with where they're at. Like, they got too much in Carr. They got too much in Dennis Allen. I think that there's almost a defiance to it a little bit. Like, okay, no, you guys are all effing wrong. We're going to show you. Like, I kind of feel like that's the mentality right now. And I think they're going to kind of keep going for it all the way. I don't think it's necessarily the absolute worst move in the world. I mean, there is a scenario, and I know, like, nobody else that watches the Saints believes it right now, but there is a scenario where I think they can be a decent team next year if they hit on the draft and make some good moves in free agency. Obviously, OC hire kind of has to be a home run for that to happen, but it's not completely without merit. But I personally, like, have finally, I think for the first time since I covered this team, 15, I was kind of there thinking that they needed to back off a little bit. But since then, like, this is the first time where I've kind of really felt like, all right, like,
you have been. You've been a big, like, don't tear it down on your own. Don't tear it down to the studs on your own because some teams never come back from that. I fully supported the stay all in the year after Drew Brees retired because all these guys we talked about, DeMario was 32, not 35. Cam was 31, not 34, and so on and so forth. Michael Thomas was still, Alvin Kamara was still 25. Marshawn Lattimore was still 24. I was like, this team's just way too good to think about rebuilding. They just had the quarterback issue, which they never fully solved. And then the last 2 years, I was kind of with them because they did recognize they did get one thing right. The NFC South stunk the last 2 years, and they were like, this division is here for the taking. They were right about that. They just didn't take it. This year, I'm less confident in the idea before. The only reason that I'm fine with them still is if it doesn't work out, if these guys just really start to fall off the table, the decision will eventually get made for you. You will have no choice but to rebuild at some point. You don't really have to get out ahead of it. I mean, the one player we're going to talk about later in the show is Marshawn Lattimore. He's the one guy you could decide, well, should we trade him while he's still worth a first-round pick? But it's not like these other guys are giving you anything more than a third or fourth-round pick anyway, even if you did trade them. So go for it again. I guess the one thing I don't want to see them do is like trade three future first rounders for like one more piece for this year or something like that. I want to restock those future assets. That's and keep as many of those as possible.
Yeah. I mean, look, to go to your very first point, like I even at a, like a pullback a little bit, I'm never, ever, ever going to say tear it down to the studs. I think that's kind of, I think it's crazy, and I never think that's a good idea. It's so hard to come back. I mean, it took the Lions 30 years. I mean, you know, like, it can really take a long time to get there. But I think there's a way to kind of pull back a little bit without, like, quitting. Like, I think it's just going out. And to some extent, it would look like last offseason minus Derek Carr. Like, they made very sensible investments. Yeah. Like, okay, we need DTs, so, like, we're going to get a couple $5 million guys, Carr was kind of the big expense. Like, I would approach, it's tough though, man, because they got such high value positions. So it's kind of almost impossible to say that, because like, you have to get a DN, and if you don't, like, what are you doing?
I'll pay for one. Yeah, I'll pay for one. I really don't mind.
You have to. But
I don't want him to necessarily be like a 34-year-old guy that's helping the team this year. But yeah, if they pay a lot of money for a guy who they expect to play out his entire contract, he could be part of this year's run, and he can be part of whatever the next version of the team
fair.
Is.
That, I mean, as long as it's
that's
the right
my
guy,
one
yeah.
big spend this year. One other question. This is actually what I led my story with today. Could you make a case that the Saints roster is better now than it was 12 months ago? Even though I just talked about how many guys are older and more injured. Last year, 12 months ago at this time, they had a giant question mark at quarterback, and now they have Derek Carr. So even though they've gotten a year older at all these positions, do you like the roster better going into this offseason than you like the roster before we knew who the quarterback was going to be last offseason?
It's tough to say. I mean, like, are we like calculating Marshawn on or off the team right now? Because taking Marshawn
really
off
point.
The team, like,
that's a really
that
good
really
point.
That really kind of
the fact
my
that
view.
He's become a question mark and not a well, they have one of the 25 best players in the NFL on their team. The fact that he's become a question mark is a part of that. Yeah.
Yeah. I had the hope of like Mike Thomas at this point last year, and I kind of feel like Mike probably isn't going to be part of the team going forward. I'm not basing that on anything. It's just kind of gut feeling.
We feel a little worse about Ramchek just because of that health too.
I have question marks about Derek Carr still. I thought he ended the season well, but I'm not ready to be all in on that projection at this point. There's no hope at defensive end. I mean, there really wasn't last year, but I feel worse about Cam now than I did last year.
I feel better about Granderson, though.
Yeah.
A year ago, we thought, oh, wow, he really finished strong at the end of the season. I wonder if he'll be something good. And I think he was one of the candidates for camp MVP and carried that into the season. So that is a player I do feel better about.
I felt terrible about the ends going into the season, and I feel worse about him now, though. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I feel like this season kind of eliminated a lot of hope that we were able to talk ourselves into on the team. Like, we saw just how much they can underachieve. And, I mean, kind of seeing the worst of it, and it was a 9-win team, but like the 9 wins didn't feel like necessarily like 9
I'm gonna
wins.
Talk myself into hope for the offense, though, because of the offensive coordinator change, because of what we finally started to see with Carr and a young receiver group. I'm going to, because we're gonna sit here 3 times a week for the next 26 weeks, I'm eventually gonna talk myself into some hope for the offense. But yeah, I hope not for rising team, not until they start drafting better.
Yeah, I mean, I'm scared of anything relating to hope with this team. All right, so since we had an audio issue at the beginning, just 2 quick shout-outs real quick. We're presented by PJs, and if you need a new car, go check out my guy, Matt Bowers, best car dealer in the whole entire galaxy. He's right next door to us here. The Ford store is it's legit beautiful, just got revamped, so make sure you go check him out. Best customer care, best service, best prices, best everything. Matt will take care of you.
You didn't want to repeat your joke about me being old and how I was the perfect guest for you decided not to be mean like that.
That's ages, man. I would never say something
like
that.
Lip readers will go back.
Yeah. All right. So it's time for the money segment presented by Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union. And since we're talking about young talent, great segue into this one. Over the Caps, Nick Corte projected the Saints will get 3 comp picks in this year's draft in rounds 4 or 5 for one of them. And then the other two are expected to be both in round 5. So possibly 3 fifth-rounders or 1 fourth-rounder and 2 fifths. And that's for losing free agents David Onyemata, Marcus Davenport, and Caden Ellis last year. Corte said it's possible it could be 1 fourth or 5th-rounder and 2 fifths. We should find out officially next month. Either way, they really need depth in this year's draft class because they've been pretty cleaned out from some recent trades. Here's a look at all the projected picks coming up for this year. Round 1, pick 14.
Another yikes.
Yeah, round 2, pick 45. That's from Denver. Round 4, projected comp pick, and then a couple fifths. They got their own 6th-rounder, a 6th-round pick from Philadelphia, a 7th-round pick from Denver. So how are we concerned about some of those missing picks, and should the Saints be willing to trade someone like Marshawn Lattimore or future picks to make up for the difference in this year's draft?
This graphic stinks. This is worse than the age graphic. I feel bad that we're doing this to people who wrote this script. I mean, I like pick 14. I like pick 45. And look, the reason they don't have a 3rd-rounder is because they moved up to the 2nd round in that Sean Payton deal. Thank goodness they traded Sean Payton and got Brian Brzee in this 45th pick. Otherwise, this would say round 1 and not again till round 4 or 5.
Yeah.
That was from you know, the previous trade where they got 2 first-rounders a couple years ago. One became Chris Olave. One became Trevor Penning. if they had both become Chris Olave caliber players, we'd feel a lot better about that. The other one is from Jake Haener. That's why they don't have their own fourth rounder going to get Haener last year. I mean, geez, I need this team to have a 2017 draft class, and they're only going to pick twice in the first, what is that, 150 picks?
Yeah.
It stinks. Maybe they'll package multiple fifths and a fourth to get into round three or something like that, but I don't see the answer to fixing the roster here unless they do trade other assets to get more picks.
Yeah, they need another. I don't know if they'll be able to get another first, but like another two or three somehow would be great for them. You know, it's kind of interesting. I don't know if they would have been able to trade Sean for like a first round pick this year.
Just in this year's class with Vrabel and Harbaugh and Belichick out there.
Yeah, and Bill might not even get a, like, if Atlanta doesn't hire him, Bill might not get a job. And I saw a report yesterday saying they kind of backed off on him a little bit. Like,
really?
It's not the foregone conclusion anymore. I don't know. Like, everybody's probably talking at this point. It could be a leverage thing being leaked out by Atlanta at this point to try to get him to maybe acquiesce on some demands or something like that. But yeah, I think you kind of got to do something here. Like, it's tough. You need young talent. Like, we were just talking last show about them. Could they become Detroit? Like, you have to draft really well to become Detroit. So,
and Detroit's had like two first rounders and two second rounders and three straight drafts to get those hits. Now you have to hit on those two guys desperately.
Yeah. So, here's the other thing though. Like, if they do trade Lattimore, like, does cornerback become an absolute must at that point?
Well, it's a two-part question. But first, yeah. This is not why I would trade Lattimore. I'm not like, I'm set at cornerback even without him. Like, I do like Paulson Adebo. I think any team in the league should like Paulson Adebo. I believe what I saw this last year. And you've made an excellent point that it feels like Alante Taylor should go back outside. And if those are your two outside starters, and if you bring back Ugo Amadi or you sign someone else to fill the slot, that's not going to be the worst position on the roster. But it's not going to be a team with Marshawn Lattimore. And you can absolutely draft another corner because you can make room for another corner. I don't think it would be a glaring must, but it joins the pile of, well, it's a star player short just like every other position. So do you – is Marshawn Lattimore – expendable is not the right word, but let's say it's the old – what is it, the Jimmy Graham trade and the Brandon Cooks trade, the 31st pick? I mean, would you rather have Marshawn Lattimore or the 31st pick?
I'd rather have Marshawn.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He's a difference maker. Alante might be, but I don't know. Like, is he straight up the replacement? Am I comfortable having Ike Yiadom the whole entire year against maybe a better slate of quarterbacks next year?
I should have mentioned him. He's a free agent, so he's not on the team. But
yeah, I mean,
if they re-sign him, he's part of that mix.
If you trade Lattimore, you're re-signing him. Yeah. You have to. I'd rather have Marshawn than pick 30. You know, would you?
I would, except for this goes back to the previous conversation that we just had. If you trade away Marshawn Lattimore, you're getting a pick, which you need to hit on. You need as many good picks as you can. And you know, he's due, I think I have it right here, he's due $15 million this year, $18 million next year, $18.5 million the next year. So that's 36.5, 46.5. That's over $50 million that you won't be spending on Marshawn Lattimore anymore. That's $50 million that you can spend on other players, other young players to fill other needs. So you're getting $50 million over the next 3 years, and you're getting maybe a first or second round pick. He's the only asset that can bring – I mean, you could trade Chris Olave. I wouldn't do that because he's already young and he's already cheap. So, no, I don't want to do it. But, I mean, if you believe in restocking the shelves and not continuing to invest in this team, he's the guy you have to trade.
I want to research this before we get into a deep conversation. So, like, legit one-word answer. Do you think you can get a first for him?
What I said, like – it would be the 31st pick in the draft if it's a first. I would think it would be between 25 and 45. I don't know what it is.
I'm going to research that and write an article on it. So if you aren't signed up for the site, sign up for the site. You'll be able to read it. I'm definitely going to do that. I think that's kind of like the biggest question.
If you are a team, season. Think of it the other way. Think you're the Eagles. Think you're the, you know, who else just got knocked out? The Packers. And you have tons of cap space because you have a young team or whatever. I'd be falling all over myself to add him to my team. And you're talking about contending teams who are picking in the 20s because they just gotten out of the playoffs. Packers, should they trade the whatever they have now, the 25th pick in the draft for Marshawn Lattimore? Yeah, I'd do that deal, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't know the roster well enough, but yeah, if I'm one of them teams, absolutely. Yeah. He's somebody that I would want. All right. That brings us up to our ad break. So we're going to hit these ads and we'll be right back after this brief break.
It's carnival time at New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company. Our gumbo combos are back. Enjoy our hot gumbo, fries, and your choice of shrimp, catfish, softshell crab, or frog legs starting at $9.99 at New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company.
Are you tired of renting and ready to own your dream home? Contact Jefferson Financial Federal Credit Union, your trusted source for home loans. Our competitive rates and flexible terms can help make your home ownership dreams a reality. If you're a first-time home buyer or looking to refinance, our experienced lenders are here to help. Our online application process allows you to apply on your schedule. It's quick, easy, and convenient. Visit us online at jeffersonfinancial.org to learn more. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
Martin Wine and Spirits is home to a selection of hand-picked barrel select bourbon, whiskeys, and much, much more. They are family-owned and operated since 1946 and specialize in wine, spirits, gourmet food, gift baskets, catering, and tasting events. They have many locations, so they're never too far away. You can check them out in Metairie, New Orleans, Mandeville, and Baton Rouge, or if it's more convenient, you can always shop online. Whether you're a wine novice or a seasoned collector, you'll enjoy the Martin Wine and Spirit experience.
All right, welcome back to our new studio on Veterans Memorial Boulevard. That brings us up to our moment of the day, presented by New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company. At least three new candidates have emerged in the Saints offensive coordinator search since our last show. 49ers assistants Brian Greasy, their quarterback's coach, pass game coordinator Clint Kubiak, and in-house candidate Ronald Curry.
Mike Sullivan from Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh two today. Yeah, so four. So we said at least three, and it's already at four. That's our thoughts. So who do you like the most, like, out of the group?
You've made a good point about who's
and,
called
Dan Pitcher's gone now, too.
Dan Pitcher's out. Was it before? I think it was right before we went on the air where we found out that who else is out? The Bears hired him. Shane Waldron is out, too. So we're down to... We know they've interviewed eight guys or set up interviews with eight guys. They're down to six that are still available. I don't know enough about how good these guys are, but if I'm just reading resumes, I like Zach Robinson.
Absolutely.
Who is truly a McVay disciple. He's worked for him in Washington and then followed him to the Rams, and he's been there for a long time. He's been sort of like training and learning and I think grooming to become this. So I like being the team that gets him. He's had so many interviews the last 2 years. He's going to end up somewhere. I like the idea of the Saints being the team that gets him. Clint Kubiak, I just reading his resume, like I've seen internet chatter where like teams he's been on didn't like him. Obviously, that's true. Like you, when you're familiar with someone, you don't always like him. But he has some of that play calling experience that you said you just never know what someone's going to be like a play caller. He's done it two places. He did it with the Vikings in Mike Zimmer's last year. He got promoted at a very young age to be their play caller, did some good things with Justin Jefferson there. And then he worked under Nathaniel Hackett for that 1 year in Denver. And when Hackett was struggling, he gave up his play calling duties, gave him to Kubiak there. And then that staff got fired. And then he goes and takes this internship with Kyle Shanahan. So I just love the experience he has. I don't know what he'll do with it all now, but thrown into a play calling role with the Vikings, that staff gets fired. Goes into Denver, works with Russell Wilson, works under Nathaniel Hackett, who's a good offensive mind. That staff gets fired. He's like, all right, who should I go work for now? Kyle Shanahan. And he's got some play calling experience he's probably learned from. Like that resume really intrigues me. Those are my two favorite on the list.
Zach Robinson feels like the prize of this group. It felt like him and Dan Pitcher were the two kind of prizes of this group. Pitcher obviously stayed in Cincinnati. Robinson for me is kind of the one. And the other reason for that is that even like, and I've said this a million times, like even before Pete, like their direction was they wanted the McVay thing. Yeah. So like, if you can get the straight up like McVay offense in here, it just feels like that's the direction that they believed in from the very beginning. That was where DA wanted to go from the very beginning. He couldn't get Liam Cohen. They go to Carmichael. Like, it just feels like that's how he envisioned his program. So whatever his vision was, I want him to have that. Yeah. And then it's executed. But I also just feel like a lot of the things that would make this team better, you get with the McVay offense, like the space in the running game, just the disguise on offense, the not having tells, just kind of the motion, modernizing everything. Interestingly enough, the McVay offense doesn't really like play action too much, which is kind of interesting because they were at the forefront of it, and now they've like dialed back a little bit. So I don't know. I'm kind of interested to see why like that trend has kind of tailed off a little bit. A lot of their play action does come from shotgun though, which is, I don't know, it's something I want to dig into and kind of figure it all out.
But, I hope we get the chance.
Yes, so do I.
But look, that of all these candidates, I think, unless I'm forgetting someone, so Brian Griese was out of the list. He's so interesting. We were both at ESPN together a couple years ago. and I thought that was kind of an interesting hire when he went there. But you can't – look, he's been a quarterback's coach for 2 years now. And those
played
2 years
under
were
Kyle's
with,
dad.
And those 2 years were with Brock Purdy. Like,
yeah,
that's some good work. And obviously Gerard Johnson, the Houston assistant, worked with C.J. Stroud. You can't ignore any of that stuff. But the only one who is truly, like – mastering a system is Zach Robinson. A lot of these other guys have been places for 1 year, 2 years, learned some nice things under McVay or Shanahan. Zach Robinson is actually like what Pete Carmichael was under Sean Payton. Like, he has really studied that system. So you're getting the Rams system probably with some of his wrinkles thrown in.
I don't know if they're going to like that comparison you just made.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. So we'll scratch him off the list. No, no.
All right. Good segue into this one. Brings us to our Martin's question of the day. Martin's is home to a wide selection of handpicked barrel select bourbon, whiskeys, and more. Martin's so much more than just wine. Would a possible trade candidate be Taysom Hill as the Saints shift away from the Sean Payton, Pete Carmichael area? Could they possibly trade him to Denver?
Well, first of all, I like the question, but I will say I think the Saints have used Taysom Hill better in the 2 years since Sean Payton left than they ever used him with Sean Payton. But obviously you would think that Sean Payton would have interest. I don't like the word trade in this question because Taysom Hill is 33 years old. We mentioned that he makes $10 million. And a team is going to trade a draft pick to pay $10 million to 33-year-old Taysom Hill. I don't know. Maybe Sean Payton is the only one who would do that. But I do think this is a fascinating question. That's why we chose it is – how do you think Zach Robinson or Clint Kubiak or Mike Sullivan or, you know, Brian Griese, do you think he would attract them to this job? Do you think that that somebody would be like, we are absolutely going to keep using this guy? I think they should. I've said on this show a million times in the last 2 years that I don't think they use Taysom Hill enough, and I think he's a special weapon. I don't view him as expendable. I don't think the Saints were just doing this crazy thing with this guy they happen to love. I think he should be viewed as a huge asset in the NFL.
Yeah, I saw someone today on Twitter talking about, like, they're going to have to get rid of him because nobody else knows how to use a gadget player or whatever. And it's just like, we'll just go watch the film and build off of that. I don't think it's that complicated. I don't think anything they're doing is that outside the box that you can't figure it out. I think you watch it and you run QB power. Like, what the hell? Like, it's not – they didn't reinvent anything. Like, it's right there. Like, it's not like this mystery, like, oh, my God, what do we do? Just look at it and figure it out. But – I think anybody that's inventive would be excited to have him as part of their repertoire. I don't think anyone would be like, man, what the hell do I do with this guy? He doesn't fit. Like, you find a way for him to fit and you build it in. And
if you hire somebody that's like, I don't know what to do with this guy, you're not hiring the right guy.
Like, I almost feel like they didn't get creative enough with it. Like, do things where you're kind of, you know, you're in your doubles look with him out there and like motion him in like to the quarterback and then move. Like, I just feel like there's a lot of stuff that they could have done that could have even went further with this. And I think any one of these guys can look at it, figure it out, and try to find another way to use him. I think there's a lot more there, man. I don't think it's a problem. If he didn't fit, sure, get rid of him. Like, that's fine. Like, if he doesn't fit what you want to do, but I don't think it has to be like where he's tied to this one system. I think he could contribute anywhere. I really don't think it's that difficult to figure out.
Yeah, and I mean, the Saints, we've said the biggest problem with their offense has been, I think, their run game and their run blocking, and yet that's a guy that these players on this team have proven they can block to the tune of 6 yards a carry or whatever. There is something that works there, and you want to build off that.
Yeah, and as you said, I don't think there's great value in trading them between the age, the pay.
Now, if Sean Payton's offering a second-round pick, then my answer is
absolutely.
Yeah.
I'd trade him in a second. But I think he probably has more value to the Saints than you're going to get from someone else with that contract and everything. What's never a debate about value, though, is a subscription to New Orleans Football. If you want to sign up for the site, make sure you do that. Use the code NOF for 20% off your first payment. Read Mike's article, everything else that we have up there, a lot of breakdowns and a lot more of that stuff to come. And members only podcast coming up with Kevin. Mike and Kevin will break down some more stuff on the Saints. So that's an extra listen for you guys every week. And if not, we'll see you next time when we're back on the show.